Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus the Christ. I remember my last evening before my family moved from Mexico City to Guadalajara. That's where I was born, in Mexico City. At age 17, my whole family moved to Guadalajara. I was remembering this week that I was sitting inside this, our church sanctuary. And I was also marveling at the beautiful stained glasses that had been put in, and the new large pews, and a balcony for the choir and praise team, and all the things that went into this new building that took about 4 years to rebuild. Well, a year after the sanctuary of our church was rebuilt, my father decided to accept a new call to a different church after 11 years in this church. And like I said, it took about 4 years for this project to be completed. And so as soon as this project got done, it seemed like he felt like it was time to move on, right? At that time, I couldn't understand why we had to move, right? I thought we would be there forever. After spending so much energy and time, I've had a hard time coming to terms with the facts that I was not going to worship in this new, beautiful sanctuary. I feel a little bit betrayed. That space that had become part of my faith formation, I would not get to enjoy. So it must have been really hard also for the followers of Jesus to also come to terms with the fact that this temple that they were marveling at would one day be gone. A temple which took so many years to rebuild after the Babylonians destroyed this. A temple to which a lot of money and time and dedication went into. How could you not marvel at these beautiful features in this temple? It was built of great blocks of white stone. It was entered from the east by a great doorway closed by golden doors. It was encompassed on the outer or core side by a golden vine from which hung immense cluster of golden grapes. As marvelous as this temple was, it also had many dividers in its structure. We found in this temple the Holy of Holies, which was separated by a veil, where no one can enter except the priest once a year. The main sanctuary was surrounded by different areas called courts, and these courts were divided by also walls. There we found the court of the Gentiles, and then the woman's courts, and the courts of the priests, and all of these walls separated people based on their ethnicity and gender and religious status and even social status. So if you were in the court that got you as close to the main sanctuary, it was a good thing. That meant that you were a little bit more of important than everybody else. So the walls that divided these sections were thick, like the walls of a fortress. But what I found interesting as I was kind of relearning this structure of this temple is that there was an inscription written on a large stone which served as a barrier just outside the gate before entering the sanctuary that read, "Let no foreigner enter inside of the barrier and the fence around the sanctuary." This was inscribed in Greek, and it meant to keep out those outside of the family of Israel. And whoever was caught in entering, who was a foreigner, will result in death. Right? This is the temple to which Jesus' disciples were marveling at. I'm not sure in which part of the temple they were, but we know that they were Israelites and men, so they were part of this inside group, more of the privileged group than every other group. And so here they were staring at this beauty while Jesus was saying to them that it will be destroyed. Right? So I wonder what went inside their minds. Jesus said, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another, that all will be thrown down. They will be asking, what do you mean, Jesus? What do you mean all this is going to be destroyed? Because for them, as most of their Jewish community, the temple represented their connection with the God of Abraham, the God of Moses, the God of their ancestors. See, the temple was the center of their worship, and it gave them identity to their Jewish community, to their cultural community. So they probably were yelling at Jesus, what do you mean this temple will be destroyed? And on top of that, persecution. If you were a disciple, would you have continued to follow Jesus after that? What would you have said? Would you have continued to follow Jesus even after that? I am not sure that I would have continued. As many of them turn away, right? But at that time, the land and everything in it was controlled by the Roman Empire, and their land was occupied by this military power. We see Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. And he was getting closer to his death. And he was getting closer to a time when he would give his life as a ransom for the whole human race. Right? And he did this at the cross by dying, offering his whole self, by choosing this path of suffering, which was the path of victory. So I think a lot of Jesus' disciples picture their own human race as the only people to be saved by God. And so these kind of challenge that idea. Only those who were allowed to go into the sanctuary. Well, at their surprise, God in Jesus came for all people. Jesus came not for men and women, but for Gentiles, as well as for Jews, for Irish, as well as the Germans, even people from Mexico, like me. Jesus later on would point at himself as the new temple, a spiritual temple that no human power can destroy. Because this new temple will have no divisions that we humans tend to trace based on gender and ethnicity and social status and education and so on. But Jesus was talking about those days when those divisions that we as humans trace would be destroyed through him. Jesus was building in himself a new temple, one of living and breathing stones rather than physical stones. We believe in our baptism we come to be part of this body of Christ. That means we're part of this new temple with Christ. So as much as we love our buildings where we worship, the church is not confined and made up of mere bricks of stones, but rather of people like you and me. Who are people like you and me? We are broken people. Right? We are imperfect people. We are flawed people. We are sinners. We are people of all ethnicities and gender and social status. But as we learn as this week at Youth Group, yet we were created in the image of God. And so that is the real beauty to marvel at, that we can worship in different languages, that we are united not by how the world classified us, but We are united because of our faith in Christ Jesus, where all are important and all matter equally. Paul writes in his letters to the Galatians that in Christ there is no longer Jew or Greek, there is no longer slave or free, there is no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. Christ, every dividing wall has been broken down in Jesus Christ. Even the separation between God and humanity, it was broken down by Jesus, by his sacrifice on the cross, so that we can experience God in our lives, so that we can experience God coming to us and being redeemed by God in Christ Jesus. So our call today as a church is to continue to be part of that diverse and loving and gracious community of faith, which we call the church. We are to be a community, a temple through Christ that includes all people. And we are called to work towards a world that has fewer walls and divisions. Each week we come to be filled with the love of God, to receive God's mercy, and to be empowered by Christ's love, not so that you can stay here in this building or even within your own households, but so that it can go beyond these walls to minister to people and to tell others that in Christ there is life and freedom and there is hope, because this world needs to hear hope. That message may not be welcome, right? Or that may not be the most pleasant experience at times when we are sharing our faith with others. But the scripture today assures us that there is nothing to lose, because the death that we ought to fear is already won in Christ Jesus, who died for us and for our sins on the cross and opened the way of everlasting life. That is the good news, dear people of God, that we have been given eternal life in Christ, a place with God forever. And that nobody can take away at all. Last week we sang a song based on my favorite scripture reading, Paul's letter to the Romans, emphasizing that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. And it said, "For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor power, nor heights, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord." May we go out this week knowing that Christ dwells within us and knowing that we are part of this holy temple empowered by Christ and sent into the world today to be a witness to the love of Christ. Amen.
Amen.